Good morning. I'm Paul Newman and I'm the pastor of Whitley Bay Baptist Church, and this is the 10th Sunday when the COVID-19 lockdown has prevented us from worshipping at the building in Park Avenue. We have, however, continued to worship, and during that time we have provided a weekly podcast containing some worship essentials to help us. Today we continue, but with one difference. We've taken the step of recording those elements to video rather than simply to audio. For some of us, this has been a fearful prospect, so please bear with us as we make this journey. If you're looking for perfection in production values, you're unlikely to find them here yet. But we will learn from our mistakes and we'll get better. So thanks today for all those who have made the video contributions and to the recording team who have worked so hard to bring it all together. Now, let's be quiet for a few moments as we prepare for worship. Even doing this at home, we find that we can come to the beginning in a bit of a rush, a little bit breathless, and so full of the cares and concerns of daily life. But today is the Sunday after Ascension Day, when the book of Revelation tells us that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign for ever and ever. Members of our music group are now going to lead us in the song Great is the Lord and Most Worthy of Praise. And then Lynn Gradwell will lead us in our opening prayer and our Bible reading, which is from Acts chapter 1.
The joy of the whole. us in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal, throughout earth and heaven
everyone. We're going to pray now. I've used Psalm 145 as a basis of this prayer, if you'd like to look at it later. So let's just close our eyes and be still for a moment as we come to worship God. Holy Spirit, breathe over us. We proclaim your greatness, O God and King. We will praise your name forever and ever. Every day we will praise you alone, for you are worthy of our praise, our awesome, loving God. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. As we sleep and when we wake to face the day, you are with us. Through good times and bad, your presence is enough for all our needs. Thank you that you uphold us as we look to you. Thank you that you open your hand and satisfy the longings of our hearts. Lord God, in a world that seems so immense and in this troubled time, it's easy to feel insignificant. Yet we know that we are precious in your sight, unique individuals who are loved by you. You are near to us as we call on you. You hear our cry and save us. You watch over us. Lord, we bring our sins before you and confess that we have not always followed you closely this week. Thank you that you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love, and forgive our sins as we confess them to you now. Lord, in this time together, open our eyes to see your vision for us as a church. The reading today is taken from Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 1. So that's Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, whilst he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Amen.
And now we're going to be led in our prayers of intercession by Chris and Beth Meller.
Father God, at this time of national and world crisis, when we don't know what the future will bring, we turn to you.
We're taking our ideas from the Urban Life's Liturgy, which was created online after a virtual coffee time. Father God, we ask you to bless
our older folks who may feel especially isolated and alone at this time.
Those we are aware of who are in hospital at this time or who are unwell.
The parents who are doing the best that they can.
The young people who may be feeling frustrated and be missing their friends.
And those who have lockdown birthdays, anniversaries, and other happy occasions.
Bless each of us as we reach out to our neighbours.
And those of us who feel unable to reach out to our neighbours.
Bless those whose voices are not being heard.
And those who are struggling with their mental health.
Stay close to those who are struggling to see where you are in all of this.
And help us to turn to you.
As we pray, as Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
It was at about 3 o'clock on the afternoon of Sunday the 3rd of May that I got a message on my phone with a link to YouTube and the instruction, you must watch this. There I found the UK blessing, which within a few hours went viral and is now fast approaching 3 million viewings. If you haven't yet seen or heard this phenomenon, then I do encourage you to Google the UK blessing. Representatives of some 65 churches in the United Kingdom from a wide range of traditions, from Anglican to Pentecostal and Salvation Army to Catholic, participate in this wonderful collage of individuals performing in their own socially distanced places, but carefully edited into a seamless whole. The project began with a group of musicians, including husband and wife Carrie Joby and Cody Carnes, gathering one Thursday with others from Elevation Worship to just work together at producing some music. They were actually coming together for a weekend conference, but spent that day trying to write the song. They'd been going since 10 o'clock in the morning and were about to go home at around 6 in the evening when the Lord's presence took hold of them, and this song, based on the great Aaronic blessing of the Book of Numbers, was given birth. And it was first performed publicly and recorded in worship on the 1st of March, 2020. It became more widely known when churches from Pittsburgh chose to bless their city with the song on Easter Sunday. The performances, filmed and placed on YouTube, grow weekly. Elevation Worship have put together a global choir version, a virtual choir version, and a living room version. There's a symphonic version, and a Hebrew version, a kids version, and a Makaton version. There are versions from Zimbabwe and Canada, South Africa, Malaysia, Hawaii, France, Latin America. It was the Pittsburgh version, though, that singer-songwriter Tim Hughes, now vicar of Gas Street Church, Birmingham, first heard. Within 24 hours, he'd been encouraged to make a UK version by his wife, Pete Gregg of Prayer 24/7, and Nicky Gumbel, vicar of Holy Trinity, Brompton. Within days, churches had been approached and recordings made. Some are names in Christian music, such as Tim Hughes himself, Martin Smith of Delirious, the Kingdom Choir, Lou Fellingham, our own local Ken Riley, Graham Kendrick, and Carrie and David Grant. Most are anonymous. And you know, each time I've heard the blessing, and that must be a couple of dozen times now in various versions, I've been deeply blessed, enheartened, and encouraged to seek more of God's will in my life. It was great to read that Prime Minister Boris Johnson had written personally to Tim Hughes, awarding him the Daily Points of Light Award, a prize that's been running since 2014 to recognise individuals who have had a positive impact on society. Boris Johnson said, "At a time when our churches are closed, I'm filled with admiration to hear how you have used the power of music to bring together Christians of all denominations from across our United Kingdom. Your sensational singing masterpiece, The UK Blessing, is truly uplifting and has touched millions around the world with its message of hope and its beauty. A message the world has always needed to hear, because it is the heart of God for his creation. If God is love, then by definition, this must be for every human being everywhere. You see, God doesn't do postcode lotteries. His love is universal. When Jesus declared that he was the way, the truth, and the life in John 14, he was making an exclusive statement that he only is the way, the truth, and the life. Whatever people group and faith we are born into, if we enter the life of God and his love, we are there because Jesus has made the way open. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen, amen, amen. May his favour be upon you and 1,000 generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you. He is for you. Amen. Amen. Amen." They're the lyrics. And this, I believe, is the gospel, the good news Jesus came to proclaim. God is for you. The Creator is for you. The Saviour is for you. And the Spirit, who is God's presence, is for you. He makes no conditions other than we receive and return that love with heart and soul and mind and strength, and then love everyone else he has created with that same love. A love that gets hurt, broken and punished by our very human tendency to think we know better than our Maker. The very hurt, brokenness and punishment experienced by the Lord Jesus in his ministry of selfless service and open love. In the end, it killed him. His faithfulness to the declaration and living out of God's love in every situation led to his being put to death, not so much our sin as by our sin, our opposition to God. But what about forgiveness? Where does that come in? The incredible truth of the gospel is that God, and Jesus Christ is God, was willing for us to do our worst to him, not just rejecting him, but putting him to death so that we might no longer be inconvenienced by him whose ways are not just higher than our ways, but in a different dimension. When Jesus' life gave out on the cross and he breathed his last, we might have thought we'd done away with the problem of God for good. But the life of the Godhead cannot be extinguished, for it is the one pre-existing and everlasting force in which the whole universe is held. God declares through the death and rising of Jesus that he forgives and frees those who mean him harm, and invites us to receive his blessing as we seek to allow him to change the world into what he has planned it to be. A kingdom in which Christ is king and his life is the pattern for all living. So the word of the Lord to us is, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. That's why the event we remember today, though technically it's remembered by the church on the Thursday 10 days before Pentecost, is so important. That's the ascension of Christ. It's not something we Baptists do very well at remembering. Christmas, Good Friday and Easter, and Pentecost itself, we never forget. But the ascension? That's a different matter. Yet the ascension is vitally important because the blessing, UK or otherwise, would have no relevance to us were it not for what we give thanks in the ascension. The disciples, as we heard in our reading, were both confused and challenged by what they witnessed. But Jesus had to leave earth, not to leave humanity behind, but to take humanity to a wholly new place. He left not to conclude his ministry, but to continue it. And he didn't take the presence of the divine on earth away with him, but so it could be poured out in a whole new way. Jesus the Christ was God born into the life of the world as a man, totally God and totally human, 100% of each. He existed before that and was active in the very creation of all that is. Colossians 1:16 tells us, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." But the Jesus who lived and died and rose from the dead and who ascends to the throne of heaven is not quite the same as that Creator. For he lived and died and rose as a human. Now the one who ascends takes the human with him. There is a human being in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And if you feel that's too much to get your head round, that's fine. So do I. I'm not sure human minds are supposed to be able to understand the depths of the working of God, other than that it is all about love of the created for the creation. In his ascension, Jesus takes humanity into a totally new place, which is why we can have hope of life with him in eternity. Then Jesus ascends to the throne, not concluding his ministry, but continuing it. He is the one who now exercises God's rule wherever the kingdom is established, and he is committed to the citizens of the kingdom. And at the end of time, when the kingdom is fully established, he will be its king. In Romans, we read that Christ does not spend his time in heaven moaning about the wretched human race. Rather, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And in Hebrews 7:25, he's able to save fully from now throughout eternity everyone who comes to God through him, because he lives to pray continually for them. We can have confidence proclaiming the message of blessing because Jesus is praying to the Father that all he loves are blessed. One of the questions that have been most in the mind of the disciples, the followers, soon to be the apostles, the sent messengers, was, how are we to live and what are we to do? Now Jesus, who we'd come to know as God, has gone. So what? At least they had the sense to do as Jesus had told them, to return to Jerusalem and wait, all together in one place in an upper room, all together in one place, a place of desperation for God to do something, all together in one place, empty but ready to be filled. Within 10 days came the answer to their questions, and we call it Pentecost because that festival day for the Jews was the day the Holy Spirit swept into the lives of those who had discovered God and discovered that God loved them through Jesus. And it swept them out into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the rest of the world with that message of blessing. The Spirit also swept the church into being. Not buildings, not organizations, not denominations, but a people determined that everyone should come to understand that the blessing is for them and no one need be excluded. So I invite you today to seek the blessing by turning away from all that prevents it and living for the blessing of all the others who are loved by God the Father, prayed for by Jesus Christ, and whom the Holy Spirit waits to fill for love's sake. The prelude to Pentecost for the first Christians turned out to be all about waiting for that power from on high Jesus promised. Are you waiting with them? The music group, lead us in the song, Waiting Here for You.
Mountains move, become expectation, waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation, still you know my heart. The author of salvation, you loved me from the start. Waiting here for you. With our hands lifted high in praise, and it's you we adore, singing hallelujah. Desperate for your presence, all we need is you. Waiting here for you.
Thank you for joining us today, and remember, you can join us for our Zoom coffee time at 11 o'clock. You will have the details of how to find us in the notes that came in the email. We hope that we won't have the problem we had last Sunday when, due to the number of churches using Zoom, the whole system collapsed. But now, let us pray. Lord God, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne on high. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us always. Amen.